Summa Up is next-gen body optimization from an actual doctor that's guaranteed to get you in the best shape of your life in 90 days. You'll be at peak levels for each of the fundamentals that drive your strength, energy, and even your longevity. It's a lifelong difference you'll see in the mirror, but also feel throughout your entire day. Summa Up puts more living in life. For full details on this transformative program designed for the demanding lives of today's highest achieving entrepreneurs and CEOs, visit www.startsumma.com.
JD here with Summa Up by Dr. Ryan. And today we're going to talk more about some of the internals. This is a little different. We have recently in this 2022 season worked with a few advisors that have really moved the needle in terms of our company, our frameworks, our culture, and so forth. And they've really changed how we think, right? And so, yes, we work with experts and advisors as well. And we really want to kind of open up and talk more about our organization, what we have found to be impactful. We're not saying, hey, this is necessary for all top 1% entrepreneurs or business owners or executives, but we just want to share some of what has really helped us and been impactful, right? And so really kind of starts from the top. So what is, you know, Summa Up by Dr. Ryan? It really is a organization that focuses on longevity medicine, right? And so we think about it as kind of three tiers, which is behavioral coaching, right? We think about kind of the diagnostic testing accountability facets and the therapeutics and supplementation side, right? And so it really caters to, and what we've noticed that we've had tremendous success with our people, which is that they just have like, you know, I guess the best way to describe it is they just have one standard, and it's to be the very best, right? So there are those rare individuals in life who just can't stop achieving. They're just hardwired to get better. And every ounce of their being compels them to be the absolute best in everything they do, right? The best of the best of the best. And that's the essence of what Summa Up is, right? And Summa Up is a kind of personalized longevity service, kind of applies a longevity coaching and therapeutics to really just dial in your physique, mental clarity, and overall well-being. It's not necessarily about your health span as it is your lifespan, right? It's really just all encompassing. And so really, if it's, you know, making sure that we can help you live life to the fullest, right? If it's effectively kind of helping you have the drive, but we just really want to help you become precisely who you were destined to be, right? And so when I say that, I just kind of want to take a pause there and talk about us as an organization, right? And so we are a growing organization. What we've noticed was in kind of building out our team and our culture and our framework, what really helped us was getting a board and a series of advisors that have had tremendous success. A few of them had nine-figure exits. One individual in particular scaled a quick service restaurant from 20 million to 200 million, right? And so forth and so on, right? And so, you know, one of the first things that they kind of basic advice is in any enterprise, right? As the leadership, as leader, like there are fires that never stop burning. There are issues. And a lot of kind of issues that we hear is, you know, from C-suite leaders, executives, and founders, is there's infinite list of things to do, and weeks go by, and they don't feel like they've accomplished anything. And so this idea of a top goal really kind of starts from not getting bogged down, majoring in minor, so to speak, so like getting stuck with the small immediate things and losing track of, you know, the important things, right? And so the top goal framework, it's based off a book by Greg McKeown called Essentialism. And it just really boils down to something super basic that our advisors keep telling us. Schedule 2 hours each day, first thing, to work on your top priority, and do this every single workday, right? The earlier in the day that we do this, the better it is to avoid other issues and people from kind of taking your attention, right? And there's some kind of clinical research that shows that we have more decision and thought processing energy earlier in the day, as far as studies have shown, it may apply differently for other individuals when you're well rested and your brain is fresh, right? And so taking advantage of this time when your mind is at its best by doing essential things first, right? And so during this top goal time, you know, it's like airplane mode on your phone. So no emails, no texts, no calls, no messages, right? And only work on your top priority. And, you know, if you are in a CRO for a software company, maybe it's managing the sales reps, managing kind of the KPIs. If you are a executive, maybe it's looking at the staffing, the senior staffing, right? How you guys are kind of performing on OKRs, right? Objectives, key results, right? It really is, or a major initiative, maybe a new product launch, right? And if you found, if all this pattern each workday, we found that we've been able to really accomplish amazing things, right? And, we didn't start kind of scheduling these 2 hours. Sometimes it's 4 hours, actually. But, baby steps are like starting 30 minutes tomorrow, maybe. Then, 30 minutes, one day a week, 30 minutes each weekday. And if that goes well, you can kind of start increasing it to an hour each week, and then finding the right balance and getting to 2 hours, right? And that's been tremendously helpful for our organization. And then that leads me to the next point, culture. And so culture is a big deal. And we say that we're a hard driving, fast paced team of continuous improvement, team not a family. We hire, develop, involve smartly. So we have stars in every position, right? And the purpose of that is really to kind of set the tone for our teammates, set of principles, a soundboard to reflect our company's culture, to help make a decision. If you're kind of uncertain to our team of an ask and action, is it in line with our core tenants, right? And to show clients and potential teammates who we are, right? And so we have a few values that we kind of stand by that we expect our team to go through. So remarkable, worthy of being remarked upon, someone who goes the extra mile, has a superpower that makes them stand out in some way, remarkably smart, creative, resourceful, adaptable, constantly life-changing learner. In the state of longevity medicine, it is evolving so fast that our knowledge base keeps evolving every 90 days, right? Or more, or faster. And the idea that organization has to grow or die, and we have to learn fast and grow, that is a key tenet, right? Being accountable, we expect our teammates to have a higher standard, to manage their time, the resources as owners, and to take accountability for everything. And so we have a CRM called Customer. Slack is our kind of collective intelligence, and we need to kind of make each other smarter. Speed, right? And so we believe that we want to be as responsive as we can to our clients, to our objectives, to our goals. And so really just having individuals that are predisposed to action, getting things done, building something fast, but also understanding that it's not necessarily about being built to fast, but it's more understanding it's being built fast, but also built to last. Tough tension, right? And then energy givers and energy takers, right? And so as we think about our clients, as we think about interacting with our vendors, we really want to be able to fill their bucket. We want to be able to kind of mine the comms. And it's not necessarily about if we kind of quote unquote sent the message, as opposed to the message was received, right? Sent does not equal received, as one of our advisors keep telling us. And kind of from the Ray Dalio school of thought, it's like we really want to speak from a culture of radical transparency, not sugarcoating it. And then also, lastly, kind of being humble, right? In a field that's evolving so fast, it is really kind of making sure that we maintain that intellectual humility and maintaining that interpersonal humility, right? And really thinking about how we can make each other better from a team standpoint. And this, just reflecting on this, talking about it during our weekly meetings has really been interesting, in that we attract the right individuals and we repel individuals maybe who don't hold these values. And this is kind of, something that is kind of like touchy-feely, I guess. It's a common course at Stanford Business GSB, right? But I think that is really interesting, right? And so the next set of pieces that we got some advice on was the concept of the zone of genius, right? And that versus the zone of competence, right? And so let's just take a step there, right? So what are the zones? So Naval Ravikant did a great breakdown of, he's the founder of AngelList, of CEO roles and responsibilities. And if you think about the four zones, right? So there's incompetence, zone of competence, zone of excellence, and zone of genius, right? So zone of competence are things that people probably do better than you. So maybe like somebody fixing your plumbing in your house, somebody fixing your car, somebody fixing your HVAC, right? So something that you should maybe outsource if it doesn't give you joy, okay? So the competence are things that you do just fine, but others are as good as you. Maybe, cleaning your office, maybe things that you are for sure outsource, they don't give you joy. If you are, finding that you have an area of responsibility, for example, in your current role that you're good at, but you're like, oh man, this is really draining, you may want to delegate that out. Zones of excellence are kind of interesting, that zones are things of excellence, like things that you're excellent at better than others, but don't love doing. And that's really difficult. And I find myself struggling with this because I love kind of all pieces of, client success, the retention, marketing, operations, right? And the sales side, right? And improvement and clinical side, right? But, zones of excellence, that's a danger zone because your team, your family, your culture, like your organization, they may want you to keep doing these things as, others gain value from you doing them. But this is the area you should really look to move away from, because that's a hard one, right? Because it drains you. And the last one, zone of genius, are the things that you are uniquely good at in the world that you love doing so much so that the space and time disappear. Like you feel like you're in flow state, right? And you know when you're doing this. Sometimes it's like, when you just like look up and it's like 4 hours of passion, like, whoa, how did that happen, right? And I'm not talking about watching a Netflix series or playing a game. I'm talking about when you're at work or doing something, and you're driving towards a goal, a vision, an objective, and you're like, whoa, this is amazing. I love it. And I'm like doing great at it. And so, I think the risk some of our advisors say is if we are, solely in our zone of genius, that no one else can do, quote unquote, the unfun stuff, right? And the unfun stuff, like horrible things, like running an organization is sometimes managing people, right? Or and firing people that don't fit your cultural values. And the key for any organization that's growing like ours is really to map out their zone of genius, map all activities out. We call it the AORs, area responsibilities, and really knowing where those are. And so there's tests like the Principles U test from Ray Dalio, talking about like it kind of tells you like who you are and like what your dispositions are. Super interesting how you think, how you communicate, how you operate, right? And how to identify your zone of genius. What we have been told, right, is you can like really talk to your significant other, talk to your friends, family, like or your boss, for example, or your advisors, and say, hey, look, send them a simple message. Hey, like try to understand the things I'm really good at in the world. It's difficult for me sometimes to see them myself, but I'm hoping you can help me identify them. Would you be willing to take, 5, 10 minutes to answer these questions? If yes, thank you. If not, no problem at all. And we, you can just say, I understand this is, an imposition on my part, but in your actual interactions with me, what do I do that like you experience in world class? What do I do where I appear to be experiencing fun, peace, and joy, right? Like different and above, right? What do I do that I'm good at, but others don't appear to enjoy? What I do that I'm not better than others? What I do that I'm actually worse than others, right? And so those are areas that you can kind of learn more about, the zone of genius versus competence versus incompetence and excellence, right? The other two pieces, time audit, they're a little high level. A time audit is like really understand, like it's critical to know where you're spending your time, right? If you're growing a business, if you're launching something, a new product, beyond the project management tools, it's really kind of getting down to basics. We have a term, basics versus advanced basics. And so it's really kind of writing down like, there's a difference between perceived time where you think you're spending your time and actual like target, like where you actually do your time, right? And so the first step is like really write down where you think you're spending your time, what the activities are, what percentage of your time you spend on each. One of our clients is a leading venture capitalist, right? And so I'm kind of trying to illustrate a point here where he says that, his perception when he did this study was, I think it was, 25% was supporting portfolio companies. Another 25% was sourcing new deal flow, new entrepreneurs. 25% was internal firm meetings with the operations partner staff. And then 10% was for, I think, he speaks at conferences. And then the 15% was for board meetings, right? And when he mapped that perceived time to actual target time, he found out that he wanted to do more, like 80% with like supporting portfolio companies. And then, maybe just 10% with sourcing new deals because his portfolio companies were doing so well. He's a growth stage investor, right? And so he really kind of wanted to minimize internal firm meetings and board meetings as well, right? And so if just like writing down, I guess your perception and versus your target and then like measuring the actual, printing out several weeks of your past calendar and adding up how you spend your time hour by hour, you'll be amazed. I was personally amazed at the difference between how I actually spend your time, how you think you spend your time, and that perception variance, right? And for each activity that's so allocated, start basics here, brainstorming ways to outsource or limit the activity, have a thought partner, a board, but really, don't try to reallocate by increasing the amount of time you spend on the most important activity. It's like time's finite, and so you really want to focus on time what I was told, spend on the less important things, right? And naturally, by that effect, you'll fill up on time on the highest priority, right? The other piece was an energy audit. Again, it's talking about kind of that zone of genius and zone of competence, right? And I think, what's interesting is like just going through your calendar is really interesting because like if you go through your calendar, if you have a Google Calendar, for example, and you mark down things that made you energized, that you liked, right? And you mark down things that were marked them like in red, for example, things you didn't like that drained you, right? You can start to get a sense of like, did this activity, did this initiative, did this like meeting give me energy or dream energy? And by highlighting those that give you energy and in green and red and those that didn't, right? You could kind of understand it. And like the best way to do it is like have no neutrals, not don't have yellow, just have red and green. So that way you can kind of really make a decision like, hey, like, is this an activity that raises my energy? Like, I'm great at. So double down on it. If it's not, outsource, eliminate, or make it like a minimize it, but make it a meeting that's like something that's like exquisite, right? So like something that you must do, but minimize kind of your interactions. But the energy audit helpful to me because it helped me understand like to be successful, it's almost like you have to say no. In a prior video, I talked about Greg Flynn, and he was really good at just prioritizing the simple variables. He's the franchising king that started with eight Applebee's and is the largest franchise owner in the US. And he started with simple variables about optimizing what he focused on, right? So senior staffing, finance, strategic involvement, right? And the real estate side. And that's it. He didn't like handle the management. And he even said like his most important position in the company was a COO, right? And so those kind of, major kind of initiatives have really helped us in terms of our mission, which is to be the leading provider of longevity medicine to, right, the world-class entrepreneurs and executives and business owners in the US. And so we've had some interesting results because we focused on the top, right? And so when you think about what we're trying to do, we're really trying to figure out ways to prevent anything from knocking you out of the game prematurely, right? And so how we think about it is really we're trying to reduce your likelihood of stroke, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and dementia, right? These are kind of leading causes that can have an impact on your lifespan that can prematurely knock you out of the game, right? And the challenge is this graph is exponential in the sense that when you age, right, at 45 years and above, your risk go up, right? And so our job is to really get you in the best shape of your life so that we can effectively reduce the likelihoods of this. We can improve your lipid panel, we can improve kind of your inflammation markers, we can improve kind of your diet, your habits, right? So that you aren't at risk for this. And so when you look at us, we're not necessarily about clients talking through over and over again why they like Dr. Ryan, but more so how we can effectively change your life. And why we show these results is really for you to get a sense of what to expect working with us in the journey with the longevity program, right? And so there's a lot of emphasis on physique transformation, getting you in the best shape of your life, building the right habits, supplements, guidance on nutrients, training, and testing to make sure that you're on the right pathway, right? And we don't really care about effectively getting you leaner so that you can kind of lose a ton of weight in 30 days, only to gain it back 6 months later. That's not what we care about. We care about consistency, step by step, 1% changes, right? Week by week and holding you accountable. And so, that's kind of the root cause of what we're trying to do, really just to be the leading provider of longevity medicine, but to be able to have the chance to change your life. And so, what's really kind of helped us in delivering those results is really kind of having our own advisors, our own board, our own kind of, team that helps us understand how to improve each day. And I really hope this helped you better understand our organization, what our vision is, and perhaps maybe you can take a tidbit or two as you scale your side hustle, as you go from six figure to seven figures, as you think about a seven figure to eight figure jump or nine figure exit. But really, I hope this can help you think about the need, right, to go outside and get some advisors that can kind of help you internally as you think about the next season and the next cycle of growth.